oriented this way here, so.
Oh, good evening. We'll start the meeting tonight with the opening prayer led by Pastor Ken Herbrick, Owosso Assembly of God. Pastor.
Heavenly Father, as we begin this meeting tonight, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings of freedom that we can come into a meeting like this and have citizens express their views and people that we elect to make decisions for us. And we just thank you for that. Bless each council member, we pray. We ask that tonight you'd give them wisdom and insight and that they'd make the right decisions for our city. We pray and we ask these things in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by myself tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, when you are ready, roll call, please.
Mayor Taish.
Here.
Pro Tem Haber.
Here.
Councilmember Fear. Ludington.
Here.
Olson.
Yes, here.
Osmer. Owens.
Here.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This brings us to the approval of the agenda.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion and support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The agenda is approved. This brings us to the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of August the 18th, 2025.
I'll make the motion.
Support.
I have a motion of support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of the regular meeting of August the 18th, 2025 are approved. This brings us to proclamations and special presentations, in which we have none tonight. This brings us to public hearings, in which we have two tonight. The first being the CDBG housing grant application. And we'll start it off with the city manager. City manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This public hearing is to receive a comment regarding the city's proposed application to the Michigan State Housing Development Authority's Community Development Block Grant Housing Program application. This is to assist qualified owner-occupied homes within the city with interior and some exterior renovations. And the total grant amount this round for this program is $472,000. No match from the city is required. Each individual project cannot exceed $40,000, so this is along the lines of what we've been administering with these types of programs in the past. Applicants are considered on a first-come, first-served basis. Tanya has a running list of about 160 applications that we've gotten over the last couple of years that we're working through. The only caveat is that around 60% of those that are left may not qualify for this because this is not state money, this is federal money, which means that there is a lower income threshold. So some people may drop off from that. I was just talking with Tanya before the meeting, so we anticipate that there may be an open round of applications, but we're not sure yet. We need to wait for the actual award because this is just authorizing the application. The eligibility criteria, largely unchanged, except for, again, this is a federal program, so just to run through some of the big ones, it has to be a single family, residentially zoned, has to be owner-occupied, so no rentals. Owner must be in the home for at least 12 months, cannot be behind on the mortgage or taxes, must have homeowner's insurance, not in foreclosure, all the utilities must be active, the home must be affixed to a permanent foundation, so no trailers, and willing to sign off on that 5-year forgivable lien on the property. And of course, the federal income and asset tests to meet program eligibility. If awarded this grant, the city will have administered over $1.4 million in these types of grants for home repair since 2023. We really started in earnest with that small $75,000 grant in 23, and it's really just ballooned into a very, very large and successful program here in the community, which, frankly, due to our income levels, an age of our average home being around 1939, 1940. There's a lot of properties that need it, and so we've been putting it to good use. And all of that has to do with the efforts of Tanya and her team in the building department. So she's built a $1.5 million program from nothing in 2 years. That's big. It really helps people.
Yep.
Yep. So with that, Tanya is here this evening. We're open to questions or listen to comments.
Yeah, I agree with the city manager, director. We've talked, and it has not gone unnoticed, obviously. We're just, as city manager said, looked like with this one, there's six altogether since 2023, totaling just under $1.5 million and about 44 households. And due to your efforts, your team, that's to be commended. I want to thank you very much for that. I'll open it up to the public, which you will have up to 3 minutes to address the council regarding this this public hearing. Is there anyone that would like to address the council at this time? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the city, to the council for any comments.
Just keep up the good work. This is amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Awesome job.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion to support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Ludington?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Mayor Tite?
Yes, the CDBG housing grant application is approved. This brings us to item number two of public hearings, boundary adjustment, Owosso Charter Township. And again, I'll start it off with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This public hearing is to receive comment regarding the city's proposed city limit boundary change on Palmer Street. Currently, the boundary is along the western right-of-way of the street rather than the usual place, which is right down the center of the street, as it is with other limit boundaries around the city's perimeter with our townships. This adjustment stretches about a little under half a mile along Palmer Street. This is down by Hopkins Lake, Palmer Park. And this is really to correct the city's Act 51 map used by MDOT to calculate the city's Act 51 street revenue. It's not possible to estimate how much more Act 51 receipts we would receive if we did this change, but the township seems to be on board. And right now, I do not believe the city nor the township are receiving any Act 51 funds for Palmer Street. Specifically, the city attorney has kind of spearheaded this effort, has negotiated with the township, and has kind of tracked down some of the history. And he was just telling me that when the road commission turned this over to the city, it really wasn't followed through. I don't know how long ago that was, but right now, Palmer Street, this stretch of Palmer Street is not even registered on our Act 51 map. So it's a house cleaning item. Every now and then we'll find bits and pieces here and there. I think Clayton's addressed a couple over the years since I've been here, but almost half a mile. This is a big one. We're just correcting our map here.
Thank you, City Manager. With that, I would open it up again to the public. We'd have 3 minutes to address the council regarding this public hearing. Is there anyone in the public that'd like to address the council at this time? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for comments. If not, I'd be looking for a motion.
Motion. Support.
I have a motion support. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Owen? Mayor Tite.
Yes, the boundary adjustment, Owosso Charter Township, is approved. This brings us to our first citizen comments, and if each person wishing to address the City Council will have up to 4 minutes to address the Council, and we'll then have, a 3 minute time period for the last session. Is there anybody at this time that would like to address the Council? Seeing none, I will bring it back to City Council for any comments. Seeing none, this would be. What's that?
Could be a quick meeting.
Could be, maybe.
It's not over yet.
We got, a couple things. So this brings us to the consent agenda, and I'd be looking for a motion.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion and support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Luddington?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Tuck?
Yes. The consent agenda.
What about me?
Pardon me.
No, what about me? Come on, man. Doesn't my vote count?
Yes.
It does. Sorry. Okay. Did we get Emily in?
We did.
Good. Okay, so we have a motion and support. All those in favor, and we already done that. You already voted. So all I have to say now, I guess, is the consent agenda is approved. Lost track there. This brings us to items of business, in which we have one tonight. Professional service agreement, public engagement, platform services. And again, we'll start it off with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This resolution would approve an agreement with Zen City to provide an enhanced community engagement tool and strategy to assist City Council and staff with receiving feedback from residents regarding important projects and policy discussions, potentially big changes to policy. This agreement can last up to 3 years after the staff and city attorney negotiated with Zen City for a 30% discount on this service. And the way we did that was we said, well, we'll take 3 years, as you're asking, but we want the ability to back out of that agreement at any time with proper notice. And the city attorney was pivotal in negotiating that, and I think that's important because this is a technology that it's tough to keep up with, even for me. And after meeting with Zen City's folks, learning about this program, it really works to improve communication with the public and residents. That has often been a challenge cited by council members over the years, most notably Councilman Pidek. This is something I've talked to him quite a bit about. And with the ever-evolving technologies that are available and helping with this, community surveys and public hearings and these types of meetings here, they don't really keep pace, in my opinion, with the needs of council, from what I've been hearing, to hear from residents and for the staff to use that feedback to make recommendations to council. There's a big gap, in my opinion, because the more traditional ways of gathering this information, we're really not seeing a lot of participation. So, as the saying goes, you got to go to where people are, and that increasingly is nowhere. They stay home, they're on their computers, and they want to participate from the comfort of their home. So that's kind of what spurred this along. They called me, and it was right about the time I started thinking about structuring a long-term discussion to meet our January 28 deadline for curbside recycling. That is going to be one of the biggest challenges and policy decisions that council faces, whether that be you in the final decision or a future iteration of council after a subsequent election. But I think that is going to be one of the bigger issues that's going to be faced in the next 2 to 3 years. There could be others as well. So I met with Zen City, the assistant city manager, and I had some meetings, and we've also looked at other communities that they represent, most notably Muskegon. Muskegon's done a lot of work in this realm over the last 10 years or so. I don't know if you're familiar with the redevelopment and all of the positive action going on in Muskegon in the last 8 years or so, but they have really restructured up there. If you've ever had a chance to look into it, just look up, watch Muskegon Go. That's one of their campaigns to really start kicking off a lot of these necessary changes and policy discussions that have been difficult for them. So I looked up Muskegon's Zen City portal, and it's something that I understand. Being that I'll be probably the main person on staff spearheading and working with Zen City and their program, I want to find something that I am comfortable with, because as I said, even I struggle with this type of technology. So what it does, it's not only a survey platform like SurveyMonkey or anything. They have that's one thing they do, but they have built-in safeguards to track IP addresses and analyze data. I mean, their programs can even sense sarcasm. I mean, this is where AI is going, and it's kind of scary a little bit, but the capabilities of that type of technology are pretty fascinating. And I think that by reaching out to people where they are, which is in their homes, you're going to see more participation, and you will see a data analytics capability that we don't currently have now. This thing will even peruse any social media account or realm that we choose. We can get a whole running list of this stuff and tell it, this program, to analyze what people are saying about Owosso. So we don't even have to really ask the direct question. We can gather this information from existing sources. It's really fascinating stuff. And I think there are a lot of people out there who are silent because they don't care, or they're silent because they have an opinion, but they don't want to participate with the avenues we currently have, which is this. COVID rushed things along a bit and forced a lot of communities to get up to speed with the availability of technology, but even since COVID ended 5 years ago or so, there's been a lot of innovation even in that time. So I think we're in a good spot now to get on the ground with something like this. I think it will be a valuable tool because we're going to need time to build the application with Zen City, go through the training, and then by the time we're ready to tackle the big recycling issue, I think we're going to have this up and going, because I've got it in my report that I'll touch on later that I'll be asking City Council to schedule a fifth Monday meeting this month to start that discussion. We're going to be bringing in Eagle and the foundation work group that you and I sit on, Mayor, to kind of kick that off and just serve as a refresher on where we are and what we're required to do with curbside recycling for a new state law. So that's just an example of how this could be useful to us. So I wanted to have the discussion tonight.
Okay, well, thank you, City Manager. I'll open it up to the council to ask any questions regarding Zen City.
I have questions.
Yes.
Quick search. How did this one compare to Citizen Lab or PlaceSpeak or Polis or Community Planet or City Source? Did you compare with any of the less expensive options that do parts of what? I mean, I do think my research says Zen City is the most robust and all-encompassing. I guess I just wonder, do we need all of those things, all of the features that Zen City offers to achieve the goals that you want, that you've listed out here, improving communication, better understanding the priorities, and increasing public trust? Like, is it worth taking a look at some of these other ones that are maybe $1,500 for the year or free because they're open AI to gather that feedback? That's
from one. First of all, they called me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't look into any others, but this is something that just clicked with me immediately. And because higher level staff will be the one using it, I just feel comfortable with it so far. But that's not to say that we could do a QBS to see what other services are offered.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Yeah. I think one of my other main concerns is this wasn't in the budget. So what is the trade-off? Because it was not 5 seconds ago that we were balking about going to monthly billing for water usage, and that cost was prohibitive and yet immediately beneficial to people in our community. So where are we coming up with $53,000 that we didn't plan for?
First, it's 17 and a half
Correct.
Per year.
The three-year commitment.
The total, yeah. You're right, 52.5 or whatever it is. But good question. I didn't touch on that. Currently, the city has $20,000 budgeted for a new website. I think a new website is going to cost more than that. That $20,000 was just a holdover from a previous year when we were considering it and didn't update the website. However, we did contact Redevelopment Ready Communities Program with MEDC. We are months away from being certified, but I was just talking with Amy today. We got to be careful with timing, because my thought was that $20,000 could be used for this rather than a website, because we have $20,000 in technical assistance grant funds that we haven't used yet because we are RRC engaged. Once we become certified, that $20,000, if it's not used, goes away. And because we're certified, we get $50,000, but it has to last us 5 years. We could certainly spend $50,000 in technical assistance through RRC in 1 year. It's not a problem. But my thought here tonight was to say, we got the money for a website through MEDC. So we got $20,000 that is up for grabs for something like this. So it's revenue neutral.
So we would have nothing for a new website then. And you think the new website is actually going to be more costly than $20,000?
The RRC program is available, and they provide $20,000 every 5 years for technical assistance for RRC engaged communities. That's okay. Just what they call us, because we're not certified yet. Once we get certified, which I said is
right.
Potentially months away, that number goes away and it becomes $50,000 for 5 years.
So we could use the $50,000 for the website.
Yeah.
And this $20,000 we have allocated for the website could go toward covering essentially a year of this service.
But, Councilwoman, if you think we should go into a qualified selection process, we can do that. It's going to take a little time, but technically this is a professional service, so that's why I'm bringing it up.
Right.
If you feel you want to be a little bit more thorough, we can certainly run a QBS process with this.
I mean,
and tell Zen City, we just need to make sure Zen City will hold this offer.
Correct.
Because we were able to negotiate a little bit.
But. Yeah, and that's a great negotiation. Good job, Scott, yeah. Obviously. I think
that's
any sort
a good
of
point.
Get out is great in case it's not what it builds itself as being. One concern I have when you were talking, and I didn't see it in the actual papers or their presentation, was you mentioned that they can track IP addresses. Presumably, that would then expose us, the community, to more surveillance and slightly more fear that they would, any negative comments might be disregarded if they make too many. Let's say that you consider them an outlier because they're constantly negative, and now their opinion is disregarded. Whereas in a public setting, we hear the same people say negative opinions, but we don't actually have the option to disregard it. Or if people feel like they're getting targeted because their IP address is being pinged for a negative. Like, I worry, I love the police, but, like, how does the security of commenting and feedback, how does anonymity play in if we're tracking IP addresses?
That's another good point, and I don't think I explained it very well. They don't track IP addresses. My concern is, and I brought this up with them, using SurveyMonkey for something, they don't consider that multiple comments would come from one person. Zen
right.
City does. And that was the crux of our conversation. Like, I asked them, how do you prevent someone from just overloading the input process and skewing the results? And they said, well, we limit it by IP address, so we track the comments so that not more than one can come from the same IP address.
Okay.
And this is something that, take this for what it is, because it's something that someone like me, who is not very IT knowledgeable, trying to explain it.
Right.
No, but that was my concern. I'm like, I don't want someone overloading the comment section or responses and skewing the results, because that's not good either. And they're like, well, no, we have this built-in.
Right, like visits versus visitors. Yeah, I get it.
The goal is not to track someone who says mean things about city government.
It's never the goal, right? Like, I just worry that people would be deterred from using it if they felt like there wasn't the benefit of anonymity. I mean, we have a code enforcement system that's designed on anonymity. If people were to be like, oh, no, they actually know exactly who it is, and now my neighbor knows that I turned them in for XYZ, then I think people would maybe second-guess using it.
I understand.
Yeah.
And the alternative to that is to have all anonymity and not be able to differentiate multiple responses from one particular individual or group of people. That just overload the responses.
Yeah. No, I know.
There's give and take.
I don't know what the strike of balance is between the two. It was something I was just pointing out. The only other thing that I really wanted to touch on, if it's okay if I keep going, if we had had something like this in play, how would this have helped with the water rate situation? Because I feel like the feedback right now, today, present day, online is not good. People are getting their shutoff notices. They're screaming about the increase, even though it went up 30%, not the full amount. So, like, if we were to have seen that, is it actionable? Are we trying to use this as a way for us to steer policy? Or is it that we're trying to find a way to better communicate the policies that we're going to go forward with? Like, what is what is your ultimate goal with gathering this information? Is it to disseminate information, or is it to help us understand the priorities portion of this? Like,
both. Right. It's both. I don't know how it would have turned out if we had this in place during the water rate discussion, simply because we didn't. But my opinion is you wouldn't have seen much difference between what would be spit out through Zen City and what you're hearing from people on social media or at the grocery store or whatever. It's just a contentious issue through and through.
Right. Other than the recycling in 2028, what other upcoming things are you hoping that this can assist you with communication-wise?
Well, it will assist you as well.
Right, sure. And you're the one using it, so.
Any changes to the charter? Any ballot measures that the city would put to the voters in the near future? Those are the big ones. It would certainly help with any future discussion on streets. Just off the top of my head, those would be the big ones.
So that's not... That seems like it's more disseminating information rather than it is trying to collect a consensus from people or figure out what people are saying about improvements or things that they want for the community. I think Nick Pidek, as you referenced, I think a lot of what he was really championing was collecting information from the people. Where are our weak points in the community? How do we improve? Not necessarily just how they receive our information. Is that part of this Zen City, is actually gathering, like, direct feedback from community?
Yes, but it's structured. So even professionally, you don't just say, hey, give us your opinion. On what? You know, we would structure it to say, give us your opinion on XYZ.
Yeah.
And a service like Zen City would actually spit out analytics from the responses that are received. It's a really fascinating program. But to say, hey, give us your opinion, you're going to get 14,700 different opinions.
Right.
So the request has to be structured. Otherwise, it's a waste of time.
There's an interesting one that I came across when I was researching this. It's literally called Place Speak, and it gathers information and prompts people to give information in an actual specific spot. So, like, if people are out of parks, then it's asking them park-related, you know, feedback. And if it, like, or if it pings where they are, I mean, another pinging thing, but it's, like, it's pretty interesting how it actually is gearing the conversations and the feedback. That one's, I don't think it's free, but I think it's like $1,500. So it might be kind of something. This list, each of them has their own value points.
Yeah.
I personally feel like it's a lot of money to do without you having heard of or researched any of the other competitors to ZenCity. Even if ZenCity ends up being the winner, I would personally love to know that we looked underneath the other rocks. Me personally.
If that is the way the council goes, perfectly fine with that. I would like you to share your list with me so I can make sure that they respond, because there is a possibility that through this process they don't provide what staff is kind of looking for here.
Right, and maybe some of the stuff might be free, you know, that you're looking for, and we can capture 70%. I don't know, was the option of 1 year worth of their service? What was the cost going to be for 1 year? $20,000?
$25,000.
That's a lot. That's no joke. Good job, Scott, on negotiating it. Or good job, Nathan, on negotiating for a reduced, 30% reduced. Maybe it ends up being that it's this, and maybe you guys all decide that I'm being...
I think you brought up something important, that the IP question you had.
Yeah.
I think that is small potatoes compared to, strangely, I don't even have my phone on me, but if you got one of these, you're getting tracked.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
I get it.
Every day, wherever you go. IP addresses. I mean, that's how fast this is evolving. So you carry one of these around, IP addresses don't mean much. That's just my opinion. So your comment about being able to geolocate and tag things, I don't think that is what ZenCity offers, but there are services out there that, you know, someone hits a pothole. Oh, here it is.
Right, that's true,
too. And it geolocates and sends it directly to the city.
Yeah. There's amazing technology out there, and I really applaud you trying to bridge this gap. Like, I think that it was abundantly clear with the water rate situation, even if the information we would have received would have been the same from a ZenCity report as from what we saw at the town hall. I mean, I still think that was really clear that people feel a certain way about how much work we're doing to get to them with the information.
I don't think you're going to find one application that does everything.
Right.
My wife works in IT, and she gets this request all the time. She said, oh, if you could invent a program that does absolutely everything, you'd either be rich or everyone would be dirt poor, because nothing would happen anymore. It would all be run by AI or whatever. But that doesn't exist. So that brings up the question I have for you all. What do you want to see? Over time, I've seen a need for both. More of the geolocated tagging things to say, hey, city, come fix this, or hey, this is a problem, or I have this suggestion in such and such a park. Do you want something like that, or do you want something like what has been proposed through ZenCity as a more community engagement and analytical tool for you to gauge sentiment on larger issues?
I mean, that's a tricky question, because can we even fix all the... I mean, I mentioned this to you before about doing an ADA audit of downtown, and it's like, there's so... like, that is a real, actual need for a lot of members of our community, is how unwalkable our downtown is because of all the trip hazards or the non-working, you know, features. And so I think that the feedback at the time was, if we do the audit, then what? Because we can't actually afford to fix all of these blind spots or obvious spots. So, I mean, I don't know. Not that I want to turn a blind eye, but I don't want to spend $17,000 on a service that allows everybody to tell us everything that's wrong, but we have no means to fix anything. That would be detrimental. I think that would create perhaps more resentment, because people would feel like they've done their part. They've said this is an issue and we didn't fix it. So I don't know.
Are there any other opinions?
Yeah.
I like the ZenCity platform. Sounds like a good platform. Something like that.
I don't see any issue with
I mean, if you guys are okay with getting more info on the rest of them, you know, I personally don't have a preference either way, but more info doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, was this something that you guys were expecting us to vote on tonight?
No. I mean, it is an item of business, but you know, I'm realistic. I know that this wasn't really on your radar. This is something I'm suggesting. If it needs to be a longer discussion with a deeper dive, yeah, we can do that.
So how long is the negotiated price good for?
You guys that know? I don't know. They've worked pretty well for us so far. Whether or not this offer will survive a couple-month QBS process, I don't know.
How long before we lose the $20,000?
Well, we're sort of in the driver's seat on that one. If we there are still a couple things we need to get done to be RRC certified, and the biggest one is to complete a marketing plan. Amy's got somebody working on that, but it's driven by us. So if there's one thing we need to check off the list in order to become RRC certified, and we don't want to lose that $20,000, we just hold off on checking that box until we can use it.
Okay.
So we're figuring out what the best option is for us, because once we're certified, we get $50,000, but it has to last us for 5 years. There's not really much I can think of that we're going to be able to use from a zoning or planning perspective for that money in 5 years. We don't need a full rewrite on our master plan in that time. That's very expensive, probably would be around $50,000, but we just did it. Tanya has the Planning Commission do their annual review. Mostly that's just a formality to remain RRC engaged and certified eventually. There may be more strenuous steps needed every 5 years, but I'm not sure. Your master plan is good for 20.
Well, personally, I like a couple of things about this. Number one, but I also like Councilman Olson's idea of researching the list that she gave you, but I like that you are comfortable with Zen. You're the one that's going to be the one that's going to be responsible for using it. So I obviously you've done your research. So Zen already has a vote for me, but obviously, each one of these platforms offered different types of information. I have not done research on any of those myself. So, if we can put it off, where you don't lose your 30%, you do a little bit more research on those. I'd like to have your professional opinion on what you think of that list. You come back, give us a lowdown on what you found out on those. I still would want your opinion on what you would suggest, what your vote would be if it was still Zen City. And, obviously I respect that. So I would vote for you if you have the time, and I don't know how much time it's going to take you to look into that. Is it two meetings from now, or is it? Yeah, will that fit?
Oh.
Because the big thing is the recycle, and I think we need something like this for the recycle of some sort. We have to address other things that we don't have funding for that you and I have talked about in the streets. Now we're going to try to get that funding, and that might be another topic beyond recycling. But the way the utilities went, I just felt that didn't seem to be a lot of structure there, and the percentage of what I heard was from what I always would call, and I could be very wrong in saying this, but the 2% and I wasn't hearing from the 50 or 60% of the public. And I believe that Zen might give us a little bit more of an input from the majority of the population other than the minority of the population. So that's what I liked about Zen. It would bring more of the citizens to the table than what I think we saw at, during the utility situation.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
Did Zen City give you any sense of how long it would take for them to turn on the switch? Like, so say you sign the contract and we're a go. Like, what's the onboarding process look like for them to get us set up to be collecting information?
They would need time to build the specific page for the city and to train the staff that would be
pulling that would be
using the program. Yeah, I don't have any.
But no sense of time. Okay.
No.
I agree. I mean, I think it's really worth. I think it's worth doing. I just would like to know that we've checked the other options before we sign up on this. I'm not a no, but I'm just like a more information would make me feel better about finding the money.
Okay. I would like to go with a time on this.
It won't be next meeting, but I'll get to work on it this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to make a decision or whatever we're going to make, but I don't want to draw it out.
Okay. Understood. That seems to be the consensus then?
Yeah, I think so. With that, we'll move on from items of business. I don't think City Clerk, I need to do anything further. Okay. This brings us to our second citizen comments, which citizens will be allowed up to 3 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone that would like to address the council at this time? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Ashley Short, 1607 Young Street.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to say you have to come to the podium. State your name.
What does rollout look like?
Wait a minute. Name and address
again. Ashley Short, 1607 Young Street.
Okay.
What does rollout of this to the community look like for Zen City? Is it like an app-based platform? How do you plan to inform community members of a shift or change? Because I like Council Member Olson said, this was the thing that on the agenda that I saw. And like a few weeks ago, a month ago, we just made a really, really big deal about the cost for, I say, rolling to monthly or bringing back the water portal. They say those types of things, and then all of a sudden there's money for this, which that was cleared up. But I think a big part of this is how you roll it out to the community, and if you're going to hear from the same people you already do, right, the people that come to these, the people that are online tripping anyways, from what I kind of gathered from this is it does take into social media already. It's just a layer on top of social media that takes, say, you tag it for how many times City of Owosso is mentioned in comments or mentioned in whatever, and it will take whatever data is being talked about on, we'll say, Facebook, and then it spits it out into a report, and it will tell you your hot items that I assume. Assume that is one layer of it that you're taking it in, that it's not a like a survey that is sent out to community members. Are they getting the surveys through email? Is it through Facebook? They're getting notification, then you got to go log into another portal. Like, what is I guess usage of this that other cities that have rolled this out? What percentage participation is actually utilized from this? I think that's a big part. Because, like, again, with the water portal, we saw a low usage on that. That's why we got rid of it. Now we're talking about bringing, I say, something else in. I know they're not the same, but they kind of run in parallel as far as technology use and not already seeing a high percentage of use in that. So we're going to throw something else on top of it. So that would be my question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? Seeing none, I just would bring it back to City Manager regarding question would be, do we have a feel? We knew that on the portal we were getting about 4% is what I remember of usage. and there was always a question, even with marketing it and this and that, how much better would 4% become? Don't know. Did Zen City give us any feel of based on, let's say, Muskegon or other municipalities, of what they started with and what they ended up with when it came to participation of the public? Do you have any feel for that, City Manager?
As far as usage, I don't have a specific number from Muskegon, but I can say that, yeah, the usage on the water portal was low. We can give an idea of how long a city like Muskegon has been using a service like Zen City or another to kind of gauge how much usage they're getting. I don't have that number, but what the portal discussion told us was that people didn't think it was valuable. They didn't use it. 4% spoke for itself. I think we would get more from a service like this, but I don't have any numbers to back that up. The way it would be rolled out is it's web-based. It can be accessed from your phone. Anonymous comments are possible, and they have a separate page from the city's website. If you have time or you want to look it up, just type in Muskegon Zen City in Google, and it's right there, so you can kind of take a look at how it is arranged. But I'll be able to get some information from the other applications that Councilwoman Olson mentioned, plus see if there's some others besides Zen City that other communities use, and put together a report for you.
Yeah. If you get any feel from other communities also regarding usage, that'd be great too. Because that was the big deal about 4%. And
one of Zen City's comments to me that they hit hard on was, you know, you're tired of seeing the same 10 people commenting on everything. And there's more than just those 10 people out there, and they have shown. To me, they have shown success in getting more for people who don't traditionally participate.
I agree.
This is the way it's done now. I mean, it's the way things are going. People are able to stay home, be comfortable, and be able to comment on something
in
the safety of the screen and move on.
Right.
You know, they don't have to come to a council meeting, or they don't want to, or even a town hall.
Sure.
Just trying to find ways, get everybody thinking about some new options for community engagement. So I think we got a lot to go with, and I got a little bit of research to do. Mm-hmm. Thank you for looking into things.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Council comments?
Right now we... We went to citizen comments. We're done with that. We're done with, council comments.
Okay. Can I ask something?
You may.
The water portal. Mm-hmm. Funny enough. Ryan, can you remind me, how much was it to have the portal? Was it $6,000? Was it $26,000?
It was $25,000.
It was $25,000 a year. Which is a price they would hold for us in any subsequent agreement. But we did mention to Silver Blaze, it's called Silver Blaze now, we mentioned to them that, hey, there's a big concern that our participation never crested 4%. That's a problem because we're spending $25,000 a year and we're only getting 4% of people looking at it and using it. Their response was, well, we can structure a new proposal to have a community outreach campaign. Well, they wanted to charge us close to $60,000 for that, and they haven't really told us what the components of that are. So you can get back on board with $25,000 a year. I don't think it's worth it, and we've recommended as such, but without some sort of outreach, other than a lot of noise being made over the recent change.
I don't
know if we'd do much better. So it's a long way answering your question.
Yeah, I guess I'm just...
We have been talking to them.
It's yet to come back to us as an option to the council. So it just kind of got pushed off, same with monthly billing, to a later date. But I do feel like I personally, over the last 2 months, have had to call in to check my usage with the lady at the front desk. And she looks it up for me, and I'm like, and that's just, I mean, that, I get it. I'm a weird household with a million kids, and maybe water's on my mind disproportionately because they're hooligans. But maybe I'm not much different than other people who would love to know where they're pacing given the new rate increases. So 4% might convert higher, based on what we've just recently done. I think that using 4% as a baseline, like this is what we did when we had stable rates that didn't change over 20 years, or the last, you know, I know that the last 3 years we had changed them, but that might not be indicative of where the community is at right now. Like maybe if we had Zen City, you would see everybody screaming about, like, I wish I knew how much water I used, or I wish I knew where I'm at for my month. And there might be more evidence to support taking that cost back on again. Savings made sense at 4%, I guess, because 4%, 96% weren't even using it. But outreach to communicate and then actually having... I just can't... It's such a humongous bill. Like, when I say to you guys that by the time we're done, my water bill per quarter will be $1,700 for my house at the current pace that we use water. I would love to be able to see that and to tell my kids, like, shut the hose off. We can't afford it, you know, or whatever the deal is. Like, there are lots of houses, lots of businesses, lots of everything that can make micro adjustments if they're able to track it. And there's no other bill in my life that I can't log into and see where I'm at on usage. So I don't think that it's a crazy idea that people should be able to see what they're, especially if we're not bringing back monthly or bringing in monthly billing. If we're sticking quarterly, it is such a gamble for every household to just let it ride for 3 months and not know. And a lot of people, weirdly enough, are phone averse. They don't want to pick up the phone. They don't want to talk to somebody, especially people under the age of 40 are not interested in having dialogue on a telephone. So, like, it's heavy lifting to expect that people are going to call the front office or the girl in the front. So at a minimum, I really feel like we need a vote on it. Like, just at a minimum, everybody needs to kind of hear the information, hear the cost. So I was really hoping that we could get that on the schedule in some capacity, because it's rough stuff to just ignore it.
The communities that I've surveyed as part of the monthly billing question, I also wanted to be sure if any of those communities use such a portal. Only one did. Every other community, including us, though, we use BSNA as our operating system for software and accounting and all that. You are able to check usage through that. It's just not on the same frequency as a portal would. And it's not real time.
Right.
I can't remember what we were seeing. Is it every few hours? Was it every 15 minutes? I can't remember this.
Which one? So, are we talking about the portal, or are we talking here on site?
Portal.
The portal? It's only the information only updated once every 24 hours.
That's the portal that we used to use that we've gotten rid of. Mm-hmm. But on site, you're saying
it's hourly.
I mean, I would take hourly. Like, that's obviously, and you're saying that that would be included with the BSNA software now?
To a certain degree, yes.
What would it take to turn that light switch on?
It's available right now.
Where?
You have a water account. Have you ever been on BSNA, the city's website, to look at that account?
Well, currently?
Yeah.
You're a resident. Just to pay the bill, but okay. No.
I believe you are able to track usage in some way through BSNA.
Stop.
I didn't come here prepared to have a discussion tonight about how to track water usage.
We should do a video.
I know the cost of the proposal to update Silver Blaze, but
I mean, if we've got something for free, then I would never say that we should do the 25,000. People can deal with 1 hour delay. Like,
then I think
that's amazing.
I think what you should do is contact utility billing and ask them, how do I do this?
Okay. If it doesn't work, are you prepared for me to come back very disappointed at this false hope? Utility billing. And what?
It wouldn't be the first time.
It would not be the first time. Won't be the last time. It's still got a year and a half. This is amazing. That's a mega cost savings. I don't want to spend $25,000 for some third-party portal. Like, if we've got it with our software.
One thing you won't get is leak detection.
Okay, but, you know, we're not getting that now.
So, like I said, I didn't come prepared to talk about the pros and cons of Silverblaze proposal, but, yeah.
I'm going to call her tomorrow. Them. Tomorrow. And find out. And if that is really true, and I'm able to go on and see my thing, can we meet so that we can talk about the idea of rolling out literally a video showing people in the community how to check their... Because that is, like, to me, that's big information. That's,
let's be sure the capabilities are what we expect.
Correct.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy, howdy. Okay, what about monthly billing? That was my other question.
That was already decided.
What was
City Charter Amendment for 2026. Because right now the charter doesn't...
That was the shutoff notice, that was the shutoffs. That was nothing. That was not the monthly billing.
Well, that
monthly billing got deferred because you said you wanted more than just one or two meetings. You wanted more time, so it got pushed to theoretically coming back sometime in September.
I don't recall that, but I know it's tied to our inability to charge taxes more than once a year.
That was the shutoff notice. Mm-hmm. The billing, it seemed like the big sticking point was the increased postage. And then we talked about, then we moved to paperless, like people were receiving paperless things. So then you went back and you got the paperless information, and then we agreed on that.
Well, I think it's much more productive to have this type of conversation outside of a meeting, because I wasn't prepared to answer these questions.
Sure. Okay.
So just keep that in mind. I think you'll have better information not trying to put me on the spot in a meeting.
I was not trying to put you on the spot for the details. I was trying to put the topic of monthly billing.
Okay.
To come
back.
We can talk.
We can talk.
Okay.
Told you it wouldn't be the last time.
No, I just wanted to know when it's going to come to us.
Yeah, like, and I it wasn't even on my mind tonight, so you kind of caught me off guard.
Okay. That's it for me.
Okay. Further council comments? Seeing none, this would take us to the city manager's report. City manager.
Okay, so monthly activities update. The partnership with Great Lakes Fusion that Ryan and Tom and I were working on to share in the rental of a large brush grinder for Aiken Road to process all the material down there. It's not really possible. The company informed us that they will be purchasing their own grinder, not renting one. In that case, they'll just have the opportunity to bid on any contract that Ryan and Tom pursue in the future for Aiken Road. So we're back to just how we've been doing it before, but no burning. On August 7th, I attended the Owosso Duran Passenger Rail stakeholder meeting. This has been a pretty drawn-out process, but when you're talking about extending passenger rail service north of Lansing and Durand up to Traverse City and establishing stops on the way, that's a multi-decade process. So the studies are going well, but even if everything goes to plan, and this requires congressional clarity on budgets, we're still looking at about 15 years before a train starts rolling north carrying people. But the studies are paid for and progressing. The summer concert series is over now, but this year it was very successful, in no small part, in my opinion, to the Moonlight Farmers Market being held on the same night. and the concert series being a little bit more organized. With both of those local attractions on the same night, those Thursdays, attendance exceeded last year's events after I talked to some vendors at the market and the market organizer. So we hope to continue with this arrangement next year in some fashion. I know the Cook Family Foundation played a part in that. On August 14th, I attended the ribbon cutting for the new Big Brothers Big Sisters headquarters here in Owosso. This is over at the Armory. The event was very well attended for ribbon cutting. The chamber obviously was there, and Huntington Bank rolled out a new ice cream truck that they plan to take to other events too. So I mean, there's a lot going on as far as welcoming Big Brothers Big Sisters into Owosso. I was speaking with the director, and she said there's definitely a need, and it made sense to headquarter here. So that's great. On the 18th, I attended the monthly SEDP meeting. Just normal regional updates. Justin was talking about all the conferences nationally he's been going to. A lot of his requests to speak at these conferences are centered around your Washington Park project and building those homes up there. The arrangement, the administrative arrangement for the brownfield and the tax incentives and all the grants from the state, it's really attracted national attention. So Justin has been our mouthpiece at those events. And the performance review process for the board to review his performance as president and CEO has begun. On the 22nd, I hosted a meeting with Eagle and Lion Bear, which is a contracted vendor with SEDP to assist the more rural communities in the county with grant writing and outreach and making sure they're taking advantage of the programs that larger cities like Owosso has the staff for. But Lion Bear has also kind of expanded into helping with discussion regarding curbside recycling and recycling in the county generally. So I met with them on the 22nd to talk about how we restart conversation here in Owosso on curbside recycling, because we do have that deadline looming over us. As a member of the recycling work group, that was the reason that we wanted to meet with them. And I mentioned that fifth Monday of this month, at the next meeting, I'll be asking you to schedule that fifth Monday meeting, which will be just dedicated to starting the discussion on recycling. Eagle will be there, like I said, and representatives of the work group as well. On the 25th, the finance director and I hosted a meeting with the Michigan Municipal Risk Management Association. This is the organization that holds our liability insurance, and we wanted to meet with them to discuss a potential policy change to make it easier for the city to hire special event vendors. We have done National Night Out for 3 years now, Kevin, and it has become increasingly difficult for the organizer, who's Kevin, to entice and hire vendors that are more related, or they're for the children. So we're talking about face painting, balloon tying, stuff like that. Our current policy makes it very difficult for the city to hire them directly because they need workers' comp, they need insurance, they need to prove all this to us. There's an easier way to do it. And Craig Manser with MMRMA met with us. We think we got it figured out, but we're just going to be tweaking the policy a bit so that we can attract these types of vendors, because if we have more of this entertainment for the children, there's going to be a lot more people who come. And I think we are year upon year seeing that with National Night Out. It's becoming more popular since, I believe, Owosso started this trend 3 years ago. Other communities do it. Ours is always the most attended, probably because we're the biggest city, but we draw in, through our mutual aid partners, a lot of participation from outside fire department and police departments as well. So it was a great event, but just to preserve what's left of Kevin's sanity and make it easier for organizers in the future, Brad and I are working on that. Now, the trail under M52, you notice it's still closed. MDOT is currently getting quotes to repair that storm drain and the damaged sidewalk. Other than that, they haven't really shared too much with us, but we are keeping on them to reopen that eventually. The Washington Street Bridge is coming along as planned by MDOT. I understand they had to replace a couple rotted beams, but mostly because it's an MDOT project, we are just telling people, look, if you want updates, feel free to get on MDOT's My Drive website. They have all the projects statewide, and you can zoom in on Owosso and take a look at what they're up to here. Lastly, I already informed you multiple times that we're going to be hopefully having a fifth Monday meeting, September 29th, to discuss curbside recycling and getting that discussion going. And the representative from Eagle, his name's DJ Drost, he will be here to help with that. He represents about 10 or 12 counties in the state regarding just recycling. So the state is still centered on that expanded service because of the change to Part 115. Moving on to economic development projects, 123 North Washington. Just in case you didn't catch it in previous packets where the minutes are shared, the HDC did rescind their enforcement on Woodworth project there because of the state of the facade, because Jim came forward with an application to be awarded a certificate, and they did award that. So they said, well, we don't want an active certificate and an enforcement at the same time, so we're going to rescind the enforcement. And the real impetus for them doing this was the fact that Jim provided proof that he was given his National Park Service historic tax credits. Now he is speaking with MEDC and MISHTA to further assist with the project because costs have gone up since he even applied to NPS. But I'm growing more and more optimistic that this will get done, but it's just going to be another one of these Matthews building things. It's going to take time. So that's my opinion. The old middle school project, another long-standing redevelopment we've been working on with the school and with Venture Incorporated. Venture went to the school board and asked for an extension on their agreement. The way it works right now is that they're paying the school $10,000 per quarter to take care of just the regular overhead expenses of having the building sit there and be plugged into all the utilities. So they got to keep it heated, they got to keep it cooled, and they got to keep the water from leaking, and they got to keep the roof in good shape. The good news there is that they're starting to work with the county land bank to, I thought they were just going to repair the roof, but they said that they are going to ask the land bank to help them replace the entire roof on that building, which is great. Roofs really count a lot for keeping an old building like that weather tight and ready for redevelopment, that it won't cost an arm and a leg in the future to actually get it done. Roof leaks, that building goes quickly. So that's really good news. I'm growing more optimistic that this project is very close to its construction phase. Venture did successfully get that extension, and they also in that same night got authorization to work with the land bank to apply for that grant. The school right now is not putting in, I think they had to make up for about $2,000 worth of just utility bills over the last year. There was brief discussion on, well, we should renegotiate that $10,000 a quarter to get more. But ultimately, they just approved the extension. They'll get their $10,000 a quarter, and they'll go from there. So that buys Venture some time to apply for this roof grant. And there's no lien. It'll be forgivable because it's the school board or the school system, and they're not a taxpayer. So that five-year lien is a moot point. The City Club building, September 8th, there's going to be a bid walkthrough. So the county land bank has gotten some interested bidders and contractors. I don't think they've had bids submitted yet, but this walkthrough is pretty common to attract contractors and see if they're interested. So the way Justin Horvath was talking, it seems they're going to have a lot of interest in that project. We have $178,000 to comply with that court order from Judge Stewart. Regarding grants, I thought I updated them all, but there were two that were not in my report, and I was reminded today from staff. Oak and Ivory, the clothing boutique here downtown got a Match on Main grant, just over $20,000. So the DDA and Lizzie are still cranking out Match on Main grants for our local businesses here in the downtown. So that's good. We always like to see more of those. And the city clerk was awarded an ADA infrastructure grant for the automatic door she's been wanting in the main entrance here in the basement for many years. That grant is for $10,000. Estimated cost on the new door system will probably be $20,000, but if we have to use some general fund balance to do that, I think that is a acceptable reason to dip into our fund balance that wasn't budgeted if we need to. Now, we haven't got the quotes yet, but kudos to Amy for tracking that down. That will help. And I don't think I had anything else. Those are our questions.
Thank you, Amy. Great job. It's Tanya.
Tanya again.
W for Tanya.
Let me put that down on this long list.
Ooh.
Add 10 on that. There we go. Jeez.
Amy wrote the actual application. I just gave some answers.
Teamwork.
Yes.
Teamwork.
We got some quotes to kind of figure out where we would be at.
All right. Thank you, City Manager. So when it comes to the fifth meeting, is that something we disagree to, or do we need a vote on that, City Clerk, or just say we're going to have...
It'll be on the next agenda.
Yeah, it's usually not.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We have another agenda before the fifth. Mm-hmm. Okay, good enough. Okay, with that, the next meeting will be Monday, September 15th at 6:30. And I'd be looking for a motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same. We are adjourned.